I bring thee fraternal greetings and love of the Colchester Ecclesia, but especially I've been asked to bring the love and fraternal greetings of Brother David and Sister Signa Savage, who wanted to be remembered to you all. We turn, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 6. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, sometimes the world envies us. Sometimes the world says, you know, those people sometimes seem to have got it right. Sometimes. Concerning Israel, it was the same. Deuteronomy 4 verse 6. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of those nations which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. And every so often people say, oh, I wish that we had your whatever it may have been. And sometimes we can overlook those benefits of the truth. The pressures of life upon us, or whatever it may be, may cause us not to value those wonderful benefits which we have, which sometimes the world envies. When you come home from work for a really hard day, and you can open the pages of the scripture, and it's like a glass of water to a thirsty man in the desert. Or you're worried about something, and your mind doesn't know which way to turn. And you can open the Psalms, and there's the balm of Gilead. The world doesn't have that, brothers and sisters. The world is in darkness. We have a light in our life. And we avoid a lot of problems, on the whole, of alcoholism, drugs, smoking, immorality. They're not part of our life, on the whole. We avoid all that. The Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Can we turn to Proverbs chapter 14? Proverbs 14, 26. In the fear of Yahweh is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of Yahweh is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. What a blessing we have, brethren and sisters, of being able to open these scriptures and to refresh ourselves with this water of life as we do. Let's never overlook that wonderful benefit. Proverbs chapter 30, yesterday's reading. Verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Now we know, in addition to the word, we'll adulterate it. We don't do that. We have to stick very, very closely to the word. We have to be sure that we do that. I'm coming back to Proverbs, but can we just go back, please, to, again, that first reading, Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Because when we open our pages of the scripture, which puts all things into perspective for us, whatever that may be, our understanding of God's manifestation is enhanced by that. We open the word and we can see things for what they are in our lives. So verse 2 says, you shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, but you may keep the commandments of Yahweh your God, which I command you, not to add, not to take away. Of course, sadly, the Jewish people did just that. When they came to the name of Yahweh in the scripture, they erased it and they put in Adonai above it. They added and they took away. Christendom has done the same thing because it doesn't see the significance of the name. And so it puts in the word Lord. If ever there's a verse in the scripture that tells us we shouldn't do that, it's this verse here. Because every time we read a name, there's a perception of a purpose of God manifestation. Sadly, much of the Brotherhood have not followed the precept of this verse. By using the name, we have that sharper understanding of God manifestation and all the pressures and the problems and what's happening in the world around us. We see it in those terms because we use the name. So having talked about the balm of Gilead, having talked about the healing power of the word, and not to add to it or take away from it, not to adulterate it, we just think about another very basic benefit of the truth, which the world just cannot comprehend. Fellowship. We just turn to Proverbs chapter 30 because some lovely verses on fellowship in Proverbs chapter 30. Now, in Proverbs chapter 30, there are the words of Agur, the gatherer. And you have six groups of people mentioned here. The fifth group of people, the people of grace, are mentioned in verse 24 onwards, down to verse 28. They're not introduced with three things and four, as the other groups are, which speaks of judgment. But there are four things speaking of righteousness. There'll be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceedingly wise, exceeding wise. So there's a wisdom in our fellowship. Now all these groups here, these four groups, are aware of their vulnerability. But fellowship strengthens them. Each group mentioned here is strengthened by their fellowship with their mate. They may be poor and needy, but together there's a strength. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. It says there that they prepare or they gather their meat. That's the word. It's the same word as agur in verse 1. They gather their meat. So they know that there's difficult times ahead, and they prepare, just as we study our word and we meet together for our Bible classes. It is our manner in our wilderness journey. We don't add to it, nor do we take away from it, and there's no exceptions to that. And it's our strength as we meet around the word of life. And there's the conies. Now they're little rabbit-like creatures. They know if they stray from the rocks, a predator will take them with their cunning and their stealth, as described in some of the early groups of people. But they make their houses in verse 26. Well, let's read the verse. The conies are but a feeble folk. We are feeble folk, brothers and sisters. We have no strength of ourselves. We have to learn that. And they make their houses in the rocks. That's Luke 6, verses 47 to 48. We won't turn to it. I'm sure we know it well. We have to have our foundation dug deep upon the rock. We stray from our fellowship, brothers and sisters, and we are weak, and a predator may get us, like the Amalekite got those in the wilderness who fell behind. Away from the ark. And then we have the locusts, verse 27. The locusts have no king. They have no organizing voice that tells them they will do this or they will do that. We don't have that in the Brotherhood, or we shouldn't. But we do go forth by bands, a mighty army, as it were. Weak on our own, but strengthened by fellowship. And so we do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We cannot afford to miss the fellowship which strengthens us at our meetings. And then we have the spider. It would be better translated, as the Revised Version does in its margin, that the spider can be taken in the hand. Very vulnerable, and yet is in kings' palaces. And so it is with us, brothers and sisters, because in our minds, as shown by our President's Prayer, we live for the things of the kingdom. Our minds are put forward into the kingdom. It puts all things in perspective, doesn't it? When we get together, whatever the problems and the difficulties are, when we get together in fellowship and refresh ourselves in the things of the kingdom, we are strengthened by that. And so we are in king's palaces, as it says in Psalm 48. It gives us priority, the focus. In Mark chapter 10 verse 30, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "But he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children, and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life." Mark 10:30. So there are wonderful benefits now that we have, brothers and sisters, of being in the truth, and a fellowship which the world does not understand. And we've touched upon another benefit as in talking about fellowship, because the world ever said to you, "We wish we had your hope." I think it was being said to us quite a few times last September. We turn back to Proverbs chapter 3 verse 25. The world envies of us, brothers and sisters, and let us not forget the benefit which we have. Proverbs 3 verse 25. "And so we live in a world where men's hearts are failing them for fear and for looking after those things coming upon the earth." But verse 25 says, "Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh, for Yahweh shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken." And Proverbs 10 verse 25 says something similar. "As the whirlwind passeth, so is the wicked no more. But the righteous is an everlasting foundation, a foundation of the Olam. Because we have the things of the kingdom to which we aspire." We just turn, please, to Romans chapter 8. I'm coming back to Proverbs in a moment, but if we turn on to Romans chapter 8 and verse 24. So in a hopeless world, brothers and sisters, we have this verse. And I'll alter the verse very slightly because I want to give Brother Thomas's translation of it. "For we were saved." For we were saved by the hope. What a blessing that is, brothers and sisters. And the world sees it sometimes and envies it because we have this hope. So we can lift up our heads and know that our redemption draweth nigh. What other benefit does the world not know anything about, brothers and sisters, but envies if it begins to hear about it? It is the angelic ministration. What a comfort that is to us. Never actually alone. The times when we don't actually know which way to proceed. But you're never on your own. "Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." And so our angels, we learn from that verse, that's Matthew 18 verse 10 of course, are ascending and descending They're always with us, brothers and sisters. The angel is always there. Doesn't matter what is happening, where we are. There's two sides to this, isn't there? You're never on your own, because the angel's always there. And sometimes I find it a useful thing to think, well, would the angel approve of that, or wouldn't it? It can be quite a useful decision tool. But wherever we are, we're never on our own. And you always know that if you're striving to do what is right, if you're doing your best to hold to the scriptures, and maybe because of the frailty of the flesh or whatever reason you may not be doing something right, the angel will help you in those circumstances when you've made it a subject of prayer. What a comfort that is. Let us never overlook that benefit, brothers and sisters. Proverbs 20, verse 9. Proverbs 20, verse 9. Just as we emphasise, when we're talking about fellowship, and again when we're talking about angels, we know our frailty. In our own strength, we are nothing. Verse 9 says, who can say, I have made my heart clean? I am pure from my sin. But with our God, there is forgiveness, that he may be feared. We just turn to Ephesians 1 verse 7. You know, we read these verses, but what a comfort they are to us. And so the purpose of exhortation, therefore, is just to focus our minds upon these benefits which we have in the truth, which sometimes can get a little bit distant to us in some circumstances. Verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. What a blessing. That, you know, we make mistakes and you come home in the evening and think, oh, I really did handle that badly. And yet, you can get down on your knees and you can get up again and you know that according to the riches of his grace, those things are forgiven, and our garments are made clean in the blood of the Lamb. Wonderful thing, isn't it? A wonderful thing. And week by week, we can resort to this place to remind ourselves of these things. Turn back to Proverbs, and we'll just now just look at Proverbs chapter 31. We could call Proverbs chapter 31 the apocalypse in the Proverbs, because it is in a sense a prophecy. The verse 1, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. Actually, the word prophecy is not a very good translation of the word there. The word burden or oracle would be a better translation than the word prophecy. It's not, that word's not normally translated as prophecy. But the mother here, obviously the name Lemuel is a pseudonym for Solomon, and the name Lemuel means belonging to Ael. So this is a third name that Solomon had. And his mother's name, of course, was Bathsheba, the daughter of Yoth, and her name occurs 12 times in the scripture. And she's a type of Zion. As you know, in Psalm 87, verse 5, it says, and of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. And again, Galatians 4, 26. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is a mother of us all. So Zion is our mother, and Bathsheba is a type of that Zion, which is our mother. And hence, as we've been reading through the Proverbs, we keep getting statements like, forsake not the teaching of thy mother. So Zion instructs us in the scriptures. And this woman who was formerly an adulteress is now a wise mother in Israel. She's the only person in scripture who calls her husband Lord, apart from Sarah. Calls him my Lord. It's interesting, isn't it? Now, what Zion, what Bathsheba is instructing Solomon, what's it instructing us? In the first few verses there, verses 1 to 9, is this: don't get involved with the apostasy, because if you drink the wine of their fornication, there's no way which you'll be fitted for the kingdom. Solomon didn't listen to the words of his mother, unfortunately. But that's what it's all about in those first few verses. That the son of David should not get himself involved with foreign women, that's verse 3, and should not partake of the wine of their fornication in verse 5, because that would pervert his mind away from the just law of Yahweh. So that's what we read about in the first few verses. We obviously want to talk about verse 10 onwards, the virtuous woman. Again, we see the woman here, verses 10 to 31. She's actually not the betrothed, she's actually the bride. So it's a picture of how she will be in the kingdom. It's a picture of the Lamb's wife in the kingdom. That's what we have here. So, just as with all the Proverbs, we have a level of practical information for brethren and sisters to learn by from each proverb, but also, and this is the level we're really looking at, there's a spiritual level, and here we see a picture of the Lamb's wife. Now, at the resurrection, brethren and sisters, we won't suddenly have the Spirit of Christ imparted to us miraculously. It's a character which we develop now, and therefore as we read through Proverbs chapter 31 verse 10 onwards, we're having to ask ourselves whether as an ecclesia we're actually developing these qualities which will be appropriate for a Lamb's wife in the kingdom. As we go through the chapter, just an overall point to make is this: we see the qualities of a mother. The qualities of a mother as we go through here. And so the ecclesia has to ask itself, is it performing a mother function? Verse 11, I want to look at. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her. Does the heart of Jesus trust in us now? Can he be always certain that we're looking to his interests and not our own? If you just keep your finger in there, but go back to Proverbs 25 and verse 13. As the cold of snow in a time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to him that sent him, to them that sent him. So we aren't Laodicean, lukewarm. As a faithful messenger, there has to be that cold of snow of refreshments. So if we tend to be Laodicean, then other proverbs that deal with us if we were, but we see how the heart of our Lord has to be able to trust in us at all times, that we're looking to his cares, not our own. We just turn to Philippians chapter 2 verse 19, just making the same point. A mother never stops caring for her children, and even when her children are adults, she'll still think of the mother towards them. She can never switch off from being a mother. Proverbs 2:19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. But with Timothy, Paul knew that he was like that faithful messenger, that he always sought to do his Lord good wherever he was. And it's that kind of thinking that we need to engender in ourselves in the Ecclesia. We're back to Proverbs chapter 31. In verse 16, or go back to verse 15. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. So on a literal level, she makes sure that her household is well fed in the morning before they set out to do their work, whatever it may be. But the Ecclesia has that same function, does it not? The faithful and wise steward. I'm going to come back to Proverbs 31, but on to Luke chapter 12 and verse 42. Same function. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant when his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. We're actually looking at it from the mothering point of view. The Ecclesia is making sure that all the members of the Ecclesia, all the children, as it were, of the Ecclesia, are fed with a proper food, whatever meetings that there might be. Whatever is said from the platform has to be in accordance with the scriptures, and if that's not so, then that person doesn't speak on the platform. That has to be done. Otherwise that mother function is not being followed. We move on then to verse 16 of Proverbs 31. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. Now the planting of a vineyard, that term is used many times in scripture. Noah did it, of course, being a type of the second Adam. It is also picked up in Isaiah 5, verses 1 to 2. But the point we want to make here is that the house is built on Israelitish principles, on the hope of Israel. It cannot be anything different. Verse 17, she girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. Now throughout the chapter there's a great emphasis upon the parts of the body here. The hands in verse 19, she layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. Verse 20, she stretches out her hand to the poor, yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. And so the ecclesial hands are going round looking for the poor and the needy, within the ecclesia that is, looking for those who need strengthening and help and comfort. And those hands are always there. We all have different functions, of course. If we just link that with 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. If a foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? So We all have our different functions. Some things one brother or sister might be able to do better than another. But as a whole, the body is the ecclesia, the prospective bride, who's always working hard, seeking the interests not of herself, but of her Lord, working with her hands continually. And certainly to read through this chapter, this is a very, very active woman. A very, very active woman indeed. So the last verse we'll look at is in verse 26 of Proverbs 31. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. The word kindness is a word which is normally translated mercy, chesed, the law of mercy. And the Apostle Paul takes that up. If we just turn on to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Ephesians 4, 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for the use of edifying, that it may minister grace or mercy unto the hearers. We're applying that to the body as a whole, but this woman could obviously do that by her use of the scriptures, by her consideration, by her care for all the members of her household. She was able, in her tongue, is the law of kindness, of refreshment, of building up, of strengthening. So we can just summarise what we've looked at, Francis, in our readings for today. The law of Christ is our wisdom, and sometimes even the world can envy the benefits which we have in the truth. Let us never underestimate all those wonderful benefits which we have of the refreshment of the word, of the fellowship which we have one with another, of angelic ministration, of the hope which we have of the forgiveness of our sins. All those, and you could think of more, are wonderful benefits, brothers and sisters. And there are times when sometimes we can overlook those things, and we should not do so. Let us take heed not to forget, for our God is a consuming fire, and a measure of godly fear is therefore appropriate for us also. We've looked at the book of Proverbs. We've seen how Bathsheba is a type of Zion, the mother of us all, specifying what kind of bride the son of David will have. And Proverbs 31 gives us that vision of what the Lamb's wife will be like in the kingdom. And each verse actually reveals some crucial ecclesial activity. Her hands were mentioned 7 times, and we equated her parts of her body with the body in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Each of us has our different function within the ecclesia. Some of us are better doing some things than others, and that's how it must be. The field, the vineyard, is the ecclesia. Her lamp never went out. It said in verse 18, her candle goeth not out by night. She's not like the 5 foolish virgins. She always has plenty of oil in her vessels, and she's just like the most holy place. And she cares for all the poor and needy, all the members of the ecclesia. And the law of mercy governs her words. Proverbs 31 is an acrostic. Each verse commences with the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the Alpha and the Omega, and this chapter reveals to us how we as an ecclesia, as the future bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, need to be matched up with the whole Word of God.